In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Our Lady of Guadalupe, star of the new evangelization. Saint Joseph. Saint Juan Diego. Our patron saints and guardian angels. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We hear in the readings the theme to prepare the way of the Lord. And we have as the example St. John the Baptist in the Gospel, the voice crying in the wilderness, telling the people to prepare the way of the Lord. In the office of readings today for this Sunday of Advent, the author of the Saints' writing that is part of the Office of Reading said that the glory of the Lord is to appear in the wilderness, because the voice is crying in the wilderness. And he says, what is the wilderness? It's the world, mankind. That's where the voice, the proclamation of the gospel, because what does prepare the way of the Lord mean? But to evangelize, to bring the good news, the gospel, to all the world, to the nations. And every age that we find in history is a time to evangelize. We talk about this being the time for the new evangelization, because in many cases we have to re-proclaim the gospel in lands that at one time used to be very much imbued with Christian faith and with Christian activity, because the faithful were numerous and they were active and zealous. But because of the past 40 or 50 years, because of the indifference of the believers or the lack of catechesis, the fault of those who had the faith did not pass it on or did not take it seriously for whatever reasons, we now find ourselves, you might say, back in the wilderness. We have to once again re-proclaim, once again, that voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. And that's, for each and every one of us, has been given that vocation to be John the Baptist in some way, in one way or another. We're all called to be that voice crying in the wilderness, to be another repeating station, you might say, wherever we go, of what Christ wants the world to know. For he came to bring us the good news. He is the good news. Christ is the good news, that he came among us to reveal to us God's love for us and then died for us on the cross to free us from captivity. That's the other message that we hear, especially during the time of Advent, that God has delivered his people, that we remember that the little babe that we're going to welcome at Christmas is our Savior and our Redeemer, and that he came to release us from the captivity to sin, to Satan. And so there is much that we can do to prepare for Christmas, and the liturgy is just reflects history. You know, we're calling to mind preparing the way for the Lord. And we're in this time of this year of faith proclaimed by Pope Benedict XVI, and we see that we must also prepare the way of the Lord again in our time, that we are to live it first and foremost, live the gospel. That is the best thing that we can do to evangelize, is to start just living our faith. We don't have to start preaching on the street corners. Some people may have that vocation. But everybody can begin to evangelize by just living the faith. We heard in the opening prayer for the Mass today about teaching us heavenly wisdom. Well, it says in Scripture that the first stage of obedience is the first stage of wisdom. Obedience to what? To God's will, to God's message. So if we are obedient as Catholics, if we follow the teaching of the church, we are already at the beginning of wisdom. We're a wise man if we listen to the church and obey the teaching of the church. If we refuse to obey the teaching of the church, we thumb our nose at it, we are fools and we're not wise, as God accounts wisdom. And we can see very clearly that because of the failure of many to obey and to follow the teaching of the church, we live in a society that is filled with foolishness. Really, when you look at it, with what's taking place in our society today, foolishness has become a virtue. Foolishness has become supposedly, you know, those who are with it. You know, to think that marriage is between two men or two women is foolishness. To call killing a baby in his mother's womb health care is foolishness. To do anything or to call something which is contrary to God's law good is foolishness. And to say that, you know, the big thing today is, you know, the new atheism that's out there, you know, everybody thinks somehow it's avant-garde. It's, you're being anti, you're being more intellectual if you are an atheist. Well, that's foolishness. Even Scripture says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. So foolishness has become the reigning vice in our world today because we refuse to listen and obey God. And so to once again bring back heavenly wisdom, we have to be humble, to obey, to hear the word of God. Obedience, obedire, to hear. And we have as an example of someone who was humble enough to hear and to do God's will. We're going to celebrate, normally we would celebrate today in the church's liturgy, St. Juan Diego. You know, God didn't, or Our Lady didn't choose the most, you know, she didn't go to Bishop Juan Zubanaga, the bishop of the diocese, directly. She didn't go to the intelligent theological masters of the university in Mexico, which was already a very fine Catholic university in Mexico, long before there was any kind of civilization of much to speak for in the United States at that time, because we hadn't even started anything in 1531. But already they had a Catholic university there in Mexico. But she didn't go to them to ask them to be the one to give this message of hope and conversion to the natives of Mexico. She went to little Juan Diego and asked him to be her messenger. You know, she spoke to him in such sweet terms, you know, calling him Juanito Dieguito, you know, and asked him to go and bring this message of wanting to build a chapel to this humble little Indian. And he was so humble, he didn't think he was worthy to do it. You know, he says, you got to pick someone more prestigious, because, you know, I'm just this little Indian, and the bishop is not going to listen to me. But that didn't bother Our Lady. She didn't get, you know, she said, go and do what I ask. So he went and did it. Even though he was kind of probably reluctant and thinking, well, this isn't going to work, but I'm going to do it anyway. And eventually we see the great grace and the miraculous work that God did through this humble obedience to God's will made known to him by his mother. And so as we look at our world today and we see the challenges that it faces, the solutions are going to be very humble, very little in the eyes of the world. But if we follow and listen to God and to his church, we can bring about many miracles of grace. And one of the things that I think is key is that we are especially calling to mind during this time of Advent, even though it's a time of penitential preparation and anticipation, that the spirit of joy is something that should stand out in the season of Advent. That the Christian are that the faithful who at the time before our Lord came, they were people who were filled with joyful expectation, awaiting their Savior. They were not sad. They were not gloomy. Although the world was in gloom and darkness, those who believed in the coming of the Redeemer were filled with joy. And we must also be mindful that one of the things that we have going for us as Christians is joy. That we know that we have the truth, that we have the saving message, and we have received already by baptism a promise of that heavenly inheritance. And so that's the thing that even in the time of the pagan Romans and that, the thing that surprised the pagans was how joyful the Christians were, even when they were being persecuted. Even though they were being fed to the lions, that they had the spirit of joy, that they were going with this spirit of joy wherever they went. And that is the thing that confused the enemies of the church. But it says, the Lord has done great things for us. We are filled with joy. And when you look at the people that we are trying to evangelize, or those who are preaching a message contrary to the gospel, they are not people filled with joy. When you look at the feminists who are out there trying to, they are not happy feminists. When you look at those who are promoting homosexual marriages, they are not happy people. They can't be happy. They can't be joyful because they're not complete. They're not fulfilled. They're not doing what God has ordained. Pro-abortion people are not happy people. They're not joyful. And I think the thing that when we look at those that we're trying to reach out to, those who are maybe in between, who just go along with the culture and with the media because they're very herd-like mentality, that the thing that will eventually convince them of the truth is they're going to look where the people are who are happy, because God has made us to be happy. God has made us to be happy. He doesn't want us to be filled with sadness. And the only way we're going to be happy is to the degree that we do His will. So the thing that we have going for us as Christians and as Catholics is that we should be people filled with joy. You know, St. Teresa of Avila said, God, spare me from gloomy saints. You know, that we're really convinced of the message that we have, the truth that we hold, the grace that we have received, the great benefits of our Catholic faith, then we should truly be happy, joyful people. And that is the thing that, in the long run, is to our advantage, because all those people out there who are, even if they think they're searching and they've found something that's going to make them happy, whether it be their homosexual union or their abortion or whatever, they're going to be left in despair. They're going to be left incomplete, because that is not what God has made them for. And so we can be witnesses. We can be that voice crying in the wilderness, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice, St. Paul tells us. That we, and even our Lord says, rejoice if you are suffering for persecution in my name. For that is really the blessing that we have received. Because we know that we're not meant for this world. This is only a jumping off point. And that we must always keep our hearts and minds focused on our supernatural destiny, our eternal destiny. And that we have been created to be with God for all eternity. That's what God wants for each and every one of us and for every soul out there. So when we go to evangelize those who are indifferent or even antagonistic towards the church, we should do so in a joyful and in a very happy way to bring them the message. They may not like it, but we should still nonetheless not lose our peace or our joy because of that. St. John the Baptist, you know, was a voice crying in the wilderness, and he was a sign of contradiction to those who were wanting a Messiah that was going to be different than the one than our Lord was. But it did not prevent St. John the Baptist of continuing to speak the truth. And he did so with joy, and he did so with conviction. And even though it would cost him, he was quite happy to suffer for that. We too must have that joy and have that confidence in Our Lady, who was the first evangelist to bring Christ to souls, and that we should have that confidence that God can even use us, unworthy as we are or as little as we are, to do great things if we just follow God's will and do His will. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.